Where do we begin? This is the title of today's sermon. Today, February 2nd, is the day appointed to celebrate the presentation of Jesus in the temple. We find Mary and Joseph taking the baby Jesus to the temple to present him, the firstborn, in remembrance of the Exodus. The firstborn is presented and then redeemed, bought back with the offering of a lamb and a pigeon or a turtle dove. But as in the case of Mary and Joseph, if a family could not afford a lamb, they could give two of the less expensive animals. Also described in the book of Leviticus are the requirements for what's known as the purification of a woman after she gives birth, which is also observed today, part of this feast day. After the birth of a male child, the woman was considered unclean for 7 days and thereafter required to undergo purification for 33 days. If the woman had given birth to a girl, the period of ritual uncleanness and purification was doubled. Yeah. So from 40 to 80 days. All of these rules and requirements remind us that we live in a very different time than Jesus and his family lived. Although, as many of you may know, this tradition went on for a while, became known as the churching of women, and now, when observed, it is celebrated as a great joy of motherhood and giving birth, and not as the sense of being unclean. So these things change, our rituals change, and yet we practice rituals as well, just as this day remembers Joseph and Mary were doing. Rituals, required rituals that we choose to do. So perhaps we can understand what they were doing at some level. We can know something of the spiritual nature of rituals as our own. We come to a ritual knowing usually what to expect. And sometimes we are surprised by grace. Grace that is experienced in new ways. Surprised by an insight or a sense of the Spirit weaving her way through the words spoken and sung. Or we get a glimpse of the Spirit in the images around us. We get a glimpse of the Spirit among us, in each other, here in community. One of the best reasons to come to church every week is that you really don't know what will happen. That might be especially true here. Just kidding. And I'm not just talking about, and maybe we don't have young acolytes right now in the sense of teenagers or children. When I've had those before, about twice in the last 10 years, one will faint. And of course, this could happen to adults. You've got to eat before you come to church and not lock your knees. But I'm not really talking about events such as that, because it's actually much more, there's much more depth in spirituality, because the Spirit is moving around us all the time within us. And here when we gather to praise and worship God, it's an especially important time for God to reach out to us through the movement of the Spirit. And the people who named this church knew that. And sometimes the Holy Comforter does comfort us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit grabs our attention and moves us out of our comfort zone. Like the time I was sitting in a pew long ago listening to a sermon, minding my own business. And I heard God say that I was supposed to be preaching. Or today, perhaps, when you hear, perhaps now or in the past, you've heard God say, you're supposed to go on a mission trip. Maybe join the altar guild or stand for vestry. Any of these things and more can be communicated to us through the Spirit anytime. But in church, it's amazing. I hear these stories. It happens. And also, we come to know, and maybe you've experienced this particularly at one time or another, we come to know that we're loved beyond all measure by the one who created you so that you can step out, try something new without fear. You really don't know what might happen in church in the midst of our well-known rituals. There have been a number of times after church when a person will come up to me and tell me what they heard in my sermon, how much they got out of it. And on those occasions when I didn't say anything like what they heard, on those occasions I smile, because I know they were hearing the Spirit, which beats my preaching any day. Even though I do now have a t-shirt that says, "The Sermonator." This was a Christmas gift to me, and I've not quite worked out when best to wear it. What occasion it may fit. Mary and Joseph thought they knew what to expect, but they received more than they expected that day, as did Simeon and Anna. Imagine that scene. One commentator describes it as having an aura of piety, this incredible sense of what's holy. The commentator goes on to say that it illuminates the scene, and it's set in this temple. The speaker Simeon, guided by the Spirit, the parents of the child have come to fulfill the law. The words of Scripture echo in Simeon's oracle. The scene evokes the account of the blessing of Samuel, and the event marks the fulfillment of the promise that Simeon would see the consolation of Israel and the coming of the Messiah. So much is occurring in this passage. So this scene is a good place to begin. To begin to see the way God is at work, how Jesus touched and touches people, giving them grace, hope, and peace. And in a way, it was something of the beginning, a special ritual where the parents of Jesus brought him to begin his life as a faithful Jew. This feast day in the church is also known as Candlemas, and candles historically have been blessed on this day, because when Simeon beheld the baby Jesus, he saw the light of the world. A prayer for this day expresses Simeon's joy, which is our ongoing joy and hope. The prayer is, "God our Father, source of all light, today you revealed to the aged Simeon your light, which enlightens the nations. Fill our hearts with the light of faith, that we who bear these candles and the light of Christ in our hearts, that we may walk in the path of goodness and come to the light that shines forever, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light which enables us to see clearly. I don't know about you, but I always have a lot of things going on in my life, a lot of information I get from different sources, some more reliable, more useful and helpful than others. Where do we begin to make sense of what happens to us and around us? Inspiration for this sermon, in part, came to me through a song. Not a church song, either. A song recorded and released last year by the British rock band Bastille. This song is called Pompeii. Spirit can work through anything. This song is about the Roman city that was destroyed when Mount Vesuvius erupted in 79 AD. Interestingly, there is a movie being released soon about Pompeii, being released on February 21st, which is my birthday. So I don't know what God's getting at here, but it got my attention. The song's about this Roman city, and it got me thinking theologically about what happened. Here's some of the words. "The walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. We were caught up and lost in all of our vices, in your pose as the dust settles around us. How am I going to be optimistic about this? Oh, where do we begin, the rubble or our sins? Oh, where do we begin, the rubble or our sins?" And there's much more to the song, but those last words really got my attention. Because where do we begin to make sense of what happened on that day in 79 AD? Or when the walls kept tumbling down in our own lives? Do we find the answer in the rubble or in our sins? Well, those things can be part of the answer, but that's not where we should begin. We begin with God. This is where we find the answer as Christians. We begin with God, who helps us make sense of the rubble. And if there's something we could have done differently, helps us to see that as well. But to always begin with God is the way to begin, because God's love and care for us and all people and all creation helps us process and deal and come to things from a place of strength. Not our own strength, but God's strength. And that makes all the difference. Sure, we can use our intellect, but it's so much more than that where the true answers are to be found. And when we begin with God, Christ, our light, shines in the darkness. It is God who helps us see things most clearly, not always with answers down to the smallest detail, but with clear messages about the world and humanity and you and me. Things like, and you might, other things, the Spirit might be bringing other things to your mind right now, but what I thought of as I was processing all this, the things that help us know the world, that God is love, that we are made in God's image, that Jesus healed and helped all people, Jesus challenged the powerful and sided with the marginalized, the Spirit moved over creation. Creation is given into our care. The Spirit was with the people and continues to guide all who are open to God's wisdom. Simeon beheld the baby Jesus and he knew something. He saw something, something that in the present connected him to the past and the future, God's hope. The Spirit helps Simeon to see in an unexpected way, in a predictable ritual, the light of the world there before him, a gift to him and for all. Taking Jesus in his arms, Simeon says those words that we now call the Nunc Dimittis, meaning now dismiss. Most often said in the Episcopal Church as part of the Compline service, which is the last service of the day. You can find this in the prayer book on page 135. I'll read it to you now. You might want to look at it later. This is the service to end our day, and our translation is as this. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see. A light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. These are the words that we are given by our tradition to say at the conclusion of every day, no matter what has happened that day. These are the words. Like Simeon, we now are dismissed. We may be dismissed, and we have been set free. Set free by being able to place the events of every day in the greater context of our faith. We have seen the Savior. Where do we begin to make sense of the day or of the time in which we live? This scene in the temple is a good place for us to begin. We can be with Simeon and the faithful, faithful Anna, and with Mary and Joseph. And we can take the baby Jesus in our arms, in our mind's eye, look deep into his eyes, and see God's love for us and for the whole world, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Amen.